To the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8, this morning. John, chapter 8. And we're going to begin reading in verse 31. John, chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Oh, that's just a stupid statement that they made. Weren't they in bondage for 400 years in Egypt? I understand they may be talking just about their own selves, but if you're going to say that we're Abraham's seed and we've never been in bondage to any man, well, that's not exactly true, is it? And not only that, they were under Roman occupation. And some of them under the Assyrians. So that being the case, I mean, you go through that and you look at it, that's just kind of a dumb statement they make. But he says, "How sayest thou ye should be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God that we've just read today. And, Lord, I just pray you'd help me to be a blessing. Help us to see the truth of your Word and help us to understand what we need to understand in this case of understanding liberty. And, Lord, we just pray that you would help each one to truly, to be free indeed. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is an amazing passage of Scripture, and everybody likes to talk about it and quote it so often and everything like that. And we have a lot of thought about liberty in the United States of America. We just celebrated June 19th, which is a new federal holiday, and now up here in a couple weeks or so, or less than a week or so, about a week now, we have the 4th of July coming up, and Independence Day. And so there's a lot of talk about liberty, and the idea of having these days to commemorate liberty, and yet so many people are in bondage. We've got slavery going on. I mean, we got human trafficking at our southern border, just day after day. Our government is aiding and abetting the cartels by refusing to enforce the law. And so it's a sad thing. And yet most people look at the idea of liberty, right? And now, because of the Supreme Court's decision on overturning Roe versus Wade deciding that the federal government has no business deciding this issue, it should go to the states and the people. On the issue of abortion, now there are people protesting because they say they're not free. Sadly, the people in the United States of America, in our history of desiring liberty, while a good thing, people don't want to be free in the most important way there is. They don't want to be free in the sense that God wants us to be free. And I want you to notice something here very clearly as we look at the Word of God and as we look at what it says here. It says In verse 30, it says, as he spake these words, the things that came before in chapter 8 of the book of John, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those words are actually, I think, inscribed in the halls of Congress and maybe even in the Supreme Court, different places. I know those words are actually there. You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the truth that he's talking about wasn't about political liberty. It was about liberty from sin. And we just take this passage at face value, it understates and shows the absolute necessity of learning and staying and continuing in the Word of God. So many people like this idea about being free, right? They like the idea about being free from the consequences of sin. But that isn't what Jesus is talking about here necessarily. It's not just the free from the, not the consequences of sin, I should say, but the penalty for sin. Because the reality is that you might be free from the penalty of sin, eternal penalty, but you are not free from the consequences of sin. We see that all around us, and we've experienced it. You know, you reap what you sow. Those are the consequences of sin. But when Christ died on Calvary's cross, he died and freed us from the penalty of sin. But not just the penalty of sin. The idea was to be free from sin. He said, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you don't continue in the word, you won't know the truth, and you won't, and that truth will not make you free. And therein is the problem. So many people want liberty and the idea of Christian liberty, but they don't want the fundamental idea of what Christian liberty is. Christian liberty is not just freedom from the penalty of sin. It is freedom from sin itself. It's the ability to say no. And this is something that you say, well, preacher, when we talk about liberty and we talk about freedom, you talk about having that liberty, that freedom. But the reality is that most people, the idea of freedom is I can do what I want. I get to decide. And the freedom that he's talking about is the freedom not just to be relieved of the penalty of sin, but the power, the freedom, the ability to say yes to God, to say, I reject my way, I reject man's way, and I go God's way. He said, you'll know the truth. But once again, why do we not have that? Because people abandon the Word of God. And Jesus said, if you continue my Word, then are you my disciples indeed. If something is indeed, it's in the actions, isn't it? But notice what he says about that. If you look at what he says, Romans chapter 6, if you want to turn over there real quick, we'll go to the book of Romans. Let me mark my place here. Romans chapter 6. He tells us about this issue in verse 18. He says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So the freedom, when we talk about freedom, we talk about the freedom from sin. The ability to not yield ourselves as members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but to yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and our members as instruments of righteousness. That's what we're supposed to be able to do. I can say, no, I'm going to do right. And there may be consequences to those decisions. But you'll be free. You're free to serve God, free to live for God, free to live righteously, free to say no to sin, free to say no to self. He says in Romans chapter 6, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. He says in verse 11, I'm going backwards. He says, likewise reckon ye also your sins yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we look at these passages of scriptures, and we look at them, and when we look at them, and they make it clear that our liberty is to be free from sin. And it's free from sin, and therefore, because we're free from sin, Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's that old hymn, free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there's remission. We're free from sin, and we're free from the law of sin and death. The wages of sin is death. Right? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have liberty. We have freedom. We have the ability to choose. And yes, we are free from the penalty of sin, but we're free from the law. We're free from the condemnation. That's why before it says there is therefore now, in verse 1, it says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the liberty and the freedom from the law is based upon us following the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God will not violate the law of God. The Spirit of God doesn't do things wrong. The Spirit of God does not. So we have both the Word of God and the Spirit of God, which are necessary to have and to learn and to operate in liberty. This is the simple fact. We're told about that. We're told that we have liberty and we have freedom, and there's nothing I've told you that you haven't already heard before. But where is the practice of it? Where is that desire to have a holy life? Where is that desire to change? You know, we talk so much about confessing our sins, and you know, First John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And praise the Lord for that. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There is that reality and that understanding that if we but humble ourselves and desire God's will and confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But before that, it says if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That could be argued that confessing your sin is walking in the light. That is the step toward it, obviously. The idea is to confess with the desire and intent to forsake the sin. So that would be walking in the light. But there's the point. He said, if you continue My word, you're My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And He said, if the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. I think the problem is many of us are like we don't recognize our condition of bondage. You know, they made a totally crazy statement. We be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. Problem number one. Problem number one. They looked at liberty only as a political or legal definition. Problem number two. They did not realize and understand or acknowledge that the bondage that they had before was due and came as a punishment for their sin. And I think sometimes people are the same way. We sit there and we read what the Bible says, but we decide to go do what we want to do, and we say, I'm not in bondage. Okay, if you're not in bondage, just do right. Every sin has an addicting quality to it. It's designed that way. It corrupts. That's why it needs to be avoided. That's why it needs to be confessed. That's why it needs to be forsaken. That's why we need the Word of God. The Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you what? Richly. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 talks about the Word of God and the testimonies of God. Psalm 19 talks about the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, so forth. We could go on and on and on. But the Bible makes it clear. But, you know, we sit here and act like, well, we don't really have any bondage. We ignore the consequences of our sin. We ignore those things and we say we're free. But let me ask you a question. Would you like to be partly free or wholly free? I mean, if you were a slave, and this is the thing that we actually have to see it, you know, we have great passion when it comes to dealing with political and legal liberty in the sense of our government and everything like that. And if you were to take somebody that was enslaved, if you were to go back when slavery was legal in the United States of America and people were actually considered property, if you were to go back to that time and you were to ask one of these people and you were to ask them the question and put it to them thusly and say, would you prefer to be free and have all the rights and privileges of a citizen of the United States? Or would you prefer to be free 2 days out of the week? 2 days out of the week, you get to go do whatever you want to do. But the other 5 days, you're my slave. You're my property. Would that be acceptable? Would that be an acceptable amount of liberty, an acceptable amount of freedom? Oh no, we'd say that's madness. If I'm only free 2 days a week, I'm not free, am I? Why can't we translate that spiritually? and say, you know what? Positionally, I am free. Now I need to make that reality. I need to live free. I want to be free. I think I've used this illustration before, but it was said of many of the people who were kept in prison in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. Many of our soldiers, some of them got so broken through the torture and abuse that they suffered, that as the story goes, and I'd have to go back, I'd have to find a way to verify this, but I've read people saying that they went over there and they told those people the war was over after all those years that they'd been in captivity, and that they actually, some of those men were so broken that they opened them up and they opened the cages that they were in. They were literally in bamboo cages, exposed to the weather and everything like that. And they'd been in that state all that time, and they were so broken as people that they came out, they took them out, and then when they set them at liberty, they wanted to go back in the cage. Now think about that. They're told, you're free, and they want to go right back into this little cage, hunker down and stay there. Freedom sometimes is a little scary, especially spiritual freedom. Have you ever noticed that when you want to do right and serve God, that there are always people that want to oppose? There's a battle to stay free, isn't there? The pretense by which we send our soldiers out throughout the world is in defense of what? Liberty. Why? Because there's a cause, there's a diligence, there's something that needs to be done. People have to stand at the ready to defend it. And to have true liberty as a Christian, there's a price to be paid. There's a diligence. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's a diligence. If we go to the book of Galatians chapter 5, if you want to turn there with me, Galatians chapter 5, the scripture tells us, verse 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're free. There's the freedom. You're free to serve God. You're free to say no to sin. You're free to rise above yourself, above carnality. You're free to walk after the Spirit, to be a spiritual person. So many people say, well, I'm a very spiritual person. If you don't follow the Spirit of God, you're not spiritual at all. You're carnal. If your spirituality consists on you doing whatever you feel is right, guess what? You're in bondage. You're a slave to sin and self. If what God says in the Bible doesn't matter to you, you're a slave. That's the truth. You can deny it all you want, but that's the reality. And Christ tells us that we're free, and He tells us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made Him free. Why do we send troops around the globe? Why do we have an army at the ready to fight? Why do we do that? Because supposedly, based on our constitution and our documents, we stand at the ready to defend the liberties that were granted
in the Constitution, or I should say enumerated in the Constitution, that were granted by God, those liberties that we grab hold of, those liberties that we're endowed with by our Creator, as it says in the Declaration of Independence, we stand at the ready to fight, if necessary, to preserve them. And the Bible tells us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Stand fast in that spiritual liberty. And if I abandon the Word of God, how can I possibly be saying, possibly be said to be standing fast? It's not possible. Then we have the other argument, don't we? We have the other argument. Well, I'm free from sin. I had a fellow one time that actually told me, he said, I can do anything I want. I'm saved, so I can do anything I want. He once saved, always saved. I can do anything I want to do. The problem with his statement is, I want to do. I. No, he can't. And the Bible tells us also in the book of 1 Peter, if you want to go over there, chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. He warns us about that. In verse 16, he says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. He says, in another place, he said, we've been called unto liberty, but we shouldn't use that liberty wrongly. I believe that's in the book of Galatians again. I'm just thinking if I can remember the passage of the scripture that I'm looking for. But he said, brethren, you've been called unto liberty. If I can find that very quickly here, just came to mind as I was reading this. But I'm trying to put this point across, that liberty doesn't mean you just go do whatever you want and we care less about anybody else or about the consequences. Liberty is about being free. Huh?
Galatians 5:13.
All right, let's see if that's the one I'm looking for. Yep. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Thank you for that. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So therein is the thing. Service to God. Doing right by God. Loving one another. These are the things that come from liberty. We're supposed to stand there. We're not supposed to. It's not just about me being free to do whatever I want to do. It's about me being free to serve God. It's about me being what I was created to be. It's about me being redeemed and becoming better than I am now. Me not being in bondage to sin. And yes, you may be free from the penalty of sin, but you're not free from the consequences of sin in your daily life. And we have plenty of evidence to show that that's true. I don't even need to quote you a Bible verse to tell you that. You can see it if your eyes are open. You see the consequences of sin. I look back in my life and I'm still dealing with the consequences of sins I committed many, many years ago. I deal with not just the memory and the shame of things that I've done in my past, but there are also relationships that were ruined way back then. People were hurt. I have to see that. So what are we talking about when we're talking about liberty? The greatest liberty there is to be free in Christ, to be free indeed, not just free in a political sense, not just free in a legal sense, but to be free to be what you're supposed to be free from sin, to be able to say no to that which is wrong, to be able to look in the perfect law of liberty. And say yes. I'm free to be a servant of the Most High God. I'm free to do right. There is no sin that has power over me. And if I will believe, but get in the Word of God and believe it and put it into action, I can have victory over every sin. Does that mean we do that perfectly? No, because we have a battle going on. We have a battle going on. We have the flesh. We have the world. We have all these things that labor against us, but they cannot defeat us. If you fall, you can get back up and serve God. If you fall, there may be consequences. There may be suffering that comes up. But that does not have to be your whole life story from that point on forever. And you don't ever have a chance to change it. Tonight we'll go into the jail, Lord willing. And we'll talk to men who have been deprived of liberty. And offer them true liberty. But they, like so many others, they can only see in terms of liberty in a political or a physical sense. They cannot conceive of genuine liberty of the soul and spirit to become servants of God, to change completely their lives. And therefore, many of them will not hear. And therefore, many of them will go through the motions, and they will sit there in the service, and then they will get out. And we've already, Brother Larry and I can attest to this, we've already talked to many of them, and I've talked to many of them personally, who they were in church, they professed faith in Christ, they got, or some of them even made a profession of faith in the jail. They get out of the jail and go right back to the same group that they were hanging with. They go right back to doing the same things that they were doing before. And guess what? They end up right back in jail. Is that not true, brother? And why? Because they never embraced true liberty that would allow them to change, to be a different person. Yet I'm afraid that many of us are the same way. We want to say, we're free. It's like the Jews that heard Jesus. We're free. We were never in bondage. Oh, yeah, you are. You know, a person who denies that they're in bondage will never desire freedom. I think that's what we do. We get that way. We become comfortable in our sin, in our behavior, and we say, this is my decision, I'll do what I want. And we just ignore the consequences. We ignore the hurt it does to others. I've talked to people, for example, that were about to commit suicide, and I was talking to them, trying to get them not to understand that their life had value and that their life could change. They didn't have to do this type of thing. And people say, well, it's my life. If I want to end it, that's nobody else's business and it doesn't hurt anybody else. That's big. That's a huge lie. The family of this man that we talked about that attempted suicide, and that's what brought this to mind, brother, when you mentioned this in the message today, when you asked prayer for those folks and for that man, as he's in critical condition from a suicide attempt, his whole family is suffering and grieving. And if they'd have lost him, they'd have been grieving. And you know, have you ever noticed that some people never seem to get over their grief? There are some people that their grief is so heavy that you just never seem to get past it. They never get through it, do they? And you can tell me that that's not going to hurt somebody. But that's the truth. Those are the extreme examples, but all of our sin has a consequence for somebody, doesn't it? Not just ourselves, it hurts others. And we have to understand that. The question is, are you free? Do you want to be free? Jesus said in order to do that, you have to continue in His Word to be His disciple indeed. And if you do that, you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. We're supposed to stand fast in that liberty. We're supposed to use it properly. Stand fast. We guard it zealously. We ought to be militant about wanting to be right with God. Don't worry about everybody else. You can't do anything about them. But you ought to be militant about you being right with God. Most of us aren't militant about that. We wouldn't call out the National Guard to stay free. We wouldn't take the Bible and read it and learn to understand it and then scrutinize our life diligently to make sure that we're doing right. Because after all, that'd just be fanatical, wouldn't it? And this is a process that's ongoing. It's something we're supposed to continue doing. You notice he said, if you continue in my word. Right now, this moment, are you free? Are you free? Let's bow our heads if you would. If you're here today and you don't know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You are in bondage. That fact that you're not sure shows the bondage you're in. You're afraid. You fear death. But you don't have to. Jesus died on Calvary's cross. He shed His blood for your sins. He paid the penalty of sin in full. He rose from the dead. And if you're not saved, you can be saved today if you'll humble yourself. Repent, believe the gospel. Stop calling God a liar and acknowledge yourself a sinner needing a Savior and believe that Jesus Christ is that Savior. Call on Him. You can be saved today. You can be free today. And you might say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I put my faith and trust in Christ. My faith is in Him and Him alone. I know that He's the only Savior. I know that He died for my sins. I know that He rose from the dead. I believe that. My faith, my hope is entirely in Him. And you may be that way. But are you living free? Are you standing fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free? Have you continued in His Word? So that you could continue to learn and know the truth, so that that truth can make you free? Or are you using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness? Are you using it as an excuse for sin? Free in the Bible is not free from government oppression. It's not free from any regulation of the state.
It's not freedom from the law of God in the sense that God's law is now invalidated and you get to decide for yourself what's right and wrong, because, by the way, that's exactly where sin came from. Man decided to decide for himself what was right and what was wrong, wasn't it? Now, freedom means free to serve God. Freedom to say yes to God, no to sin, no to self, no to the flesh. Say yes to the Spirit of God. Are you free? Heavenly Father, I just pray for each one today. Lord, if there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation. And Lord, we just ask that as we get to where we're going to end the message today and end the service today, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to first of all see our bondage and see our places where we're still struggling and in bondage to sin, and understand it for what it is, that we might desire freedom. And Lord, then that we would believe your word and study your word and study the word of God diligently and learn the truth so that truth can make us free, to where we can be truly free, body, soul, and spirit. We can be free. And Lord, we help us to continue and never become satisfied. Help us not to just be desire to be free part of the time, but to be free all of the time. Lord, we just pray and we ask you'd help us to overcome sin, to get the victory. And Father, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we ask your help and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you free?